The Kingdom of Fife, surrounded by beautiful coastline, home to Scotland's first regional park encompassing the volcanic Lomond Hills, scattered with wildlife and heaving with history. Over the next 10 minutes, I'll be painting a picture of some of Fife's most interesting features, from rutting red deer to the work of volunteers in Falkland Estate and to the ancient lime kilns of Charleston, beginning with a look at the work of Anstruther Fishery Museum's resident boat club. This is Sounds of the Kingdom.
Taking all the stuff out of the seams of this boat. These are clinker, they know clinker, this is the carvel seams. They've got oakum in them. That's what they put in to seal it, right? And you build the boat, okay? The planks go on, and the planks have got a touch at the back, and they're open at the front. And then you put stuff called oakum, which is the thing we do, tarry rope, and you put it in the seams, the thing like that, okay? Okay, fill it all the way along. You push it between the seams.
I learnt through becoming a guide in the museum, of course, about the fishing industry and the relevance of a boat like the Reaper, the last survivor of a huge fishing community that was 100 years ago. The Reaper being having lug sails is not an easy boat to sail, and the fishermen themselves must have been extremely skilled to manage to get these big sailing boats in and out of the small harbours on the east coast without the use of an engine at all. They were purely sailing boats.
Well, you can see, everybody's working. We all enjoy ourselves. We're here because we like boats and we enjoy the company with some good laughs.
We're all doing this for just the labour of love, you would say. It's a part-time job.
Keeps us in touch, having been at sea all our lives. It's always a hobby in retirement.
Many, many people, yachtsmen all over the country, would pay a lot of money to sail on the Reaper. It's a great honour, and I think all of us appreciate that.
They're trying to entertain their mates. What they do is they'll go about roaring and presenting themselves to the females, trying to get what's called a harem, and that's just a collection of girls. The more they can get, obviously, the better the male they are.
In the wild, a lot of males would usually kind of show off to each other, so they do what's called parallel walking, where they will just walk past each other and they try and look the biggest and show off. And they will do this bellow, which is like a big roar, and it's basically for other stags to say, this is my territory and don't come in.
We're going to clear some trees that have come down over a path that is blocked from the last storms. It's a whole bunch of conifer trees that are blocking a nice little path, so it needs to be opened up to the public, made safe. So a lot for us to handle with such a small group. We're getting lots of help from volunteers who are phoning specifically to help us out. And we've got some target areas that we've got to get to first, make sure they're safe, because they're really quite dangerous and tricky, where paths are just completely blocked. The main thing we've got to do first is ensure public safety and access, and then we'll go around worrying about what we're going to do with timber and replanting trees.
I am snedding the trunks, taking the branches off, side branches off the trunks to clear the path. That's the first stage of clearing the trees from the path. Then it'll be the chainsaw's job. It'll be a chainsaw job to get the rest of it cleared. All crisscrossed on top of each other. Quite a challenge for the tree surgeon who's got the chainsaw to do it in the right order to make it safe.
Snedding means taking the branches off of the main trunk. It's just going around taking all these off, so you're left with a bare trunk, which you would then cut into your log lengths for whatever purpose you wanted it for.
Using, you know, just rudimentary tools over the years, it's just, no one's, hasn't been done with them. I stay locally and use the estate for walking most days, and after the storm last week, just walking down Massby Den and shocked at the damage, so carried on walking down to the stables, the estate house, and asked if they needed help, and here I am. So it's just sort of seeing your favourite place looking in tatters, I guess. It just makes you want to do something.
Charlestown is the home of 14 historic lime kilns, which was the biggest lime burning complex in the whole of the UK, with the lime going as far as Nova Scotia, New York, Scandinavia, Orkney, Shetland, and all up and down the east coast of Scotland. We have huge banks of limestone, and we had coal from the reserves in Dunfermline, and then they're placed together in a lime kiln, which is like a giant chimney, and they're burnt at about 800 degrees centigrade, at which point the limestone releases carbon dioxide to atmosphere, leaving something called quicklime. Traditionally, that was the material that was delivered to a building site, and mortars were made on site.
Basically, the main job that I do here is to get in samples like these kind of ones, which are lime mortars. So these are from a historic building, and the idea is that someone's sending them in because they want to understand the material that was originally used in the building. One of the kind of indications of a cement or a lime mortar, if you have them in hand, specimen are quite good. If you just knock them together like that, that's the lime mortar, and you can hear it's quite hollow. Whereas the cement mortars, you can hear they're much higher pitched, and that's because they're very brittle.
The workshop's up here. It's a training facility, so we're doing a mixture of all traditional building skills, varying from lime pointing, lime rendering, ashlar grouts, wall grouts. I'm more into my traditional buildings. I like the old buildings. I like the way they were traditionally built. I don't like the modern construction. It just, to me, it's not the way it should be done. It's not solid enough a wall. What really draws me to it, it's the heart and soul that goes into these traditional buildings. They take their time and they take pride in what they're actually doing.
The seat of the Industrial Revolution in Scotland.
last survivor of a huge fishing community.